Okay, our next speaker is Jean Caron, and the title of his presentation is Subsurface Hydrological Processes and Surface Irrigation Management in Cranberry.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everybody. This paper will focus on the hydrological processes and its influence on surface irrigation in Cranberry. But I'd like to acknowledge the contribution of my co-author there, Vincent Pelletier, Yann Perrier, and Jonathan Lafont, Sylvio Gumier, who are from Laval, and Craven Delis and Bill Bland from the University of Wisconsin. Okay, cranberry is an important crop in North America in several states, but it requires a lot of water. And for any other crops, there is a need to improve the water use efficiency because in some zones it goes directly in competition with other crops. I think some of the papers this morning talk about subsurface hydrological processes. While we acknowledge they should be taken into account, right now the quantification and the effect of surface irrigation is limiting. They may influence, obviously, the drainage, the capillary rise, the formation of a compacted layer, as well as the root development at different spatial scales. And there is a need to quantify their effect, as most of the studies remain theoretical. Now we've got real-time GPS equipped monitoring tools which allow us to identify the effect, but then integrate the information got from these sensors to make better irrigation recommendations at different spatial scales. So therefore, the objective of this presentation this morning is to illustrate the gains that are possibly associated when taking into account these processes. I simply want you to identify this take-home message, to take with you this message that actually, in the case of cranberry, it can lead to significant water savings and an improvement in productivity for this crop. So the story of this presentation started with work conducted by Simon Bonin in 2005 to 2008, in which he identified the zones of an empirical relationship between the average saltwater tension maintained in the bed and the yield of cranberry. And what we've seen there is that actually the cranberry is very sensitive to water management. And this relationship has been established from growers' data, has been confirmed in another independent study on growers from another state or province, and has been confirmed by independent experiments in growth cabinet studies. But what appears to be causing this kind of quadratic shape that we've observed is the fact that oxygen flux might be limiting the fruit production in cranberry for the wet end zone of the irrigation management, while on the dry end zone of the irrigation management, we've seen flux-limiting conditions that we confirmed through modeling of the capillary rise process under hysteresis behavior in cranberry beds. Okay, practically, how does this work in the field? You've got different systems that can be used, so I'm just presenting one of them. Actually, growers in that case will use two sensors, one at which is located within the rooting zone, and a second one which is located below. And for most crops, the first one will be used to initiate irrigation. In the case of cranberry, at the threshold that we've identified previously at 7.5 kPa, while the second one typically used to stop irrigation when the wetting front is moving down in profile and bringing some of the nutrients down. In the case of cranberry, will be simply used to quantify the capillary rise process, detect the presence of compacted layer, as well as possibly locate the position of the water table. Okay, just to give you a little bit of background of the kind of growing environment. In the case of cranberry beds, we're working with a laser level impermeable layer, okay? Either a peat layer or a clay layer, which is laser leveled, and over which drain tile I put, and then about 40 centimeter of sand, of coarse sand or medium sand, is applied, okay? And obviously, this bed is surrounded by ditches for which you can control the level. And controlling the level helps you harvesting the crop, because obviously you've got to really bring the water table about 6 inches above the surface to float the fruits and then harvest the crop. Okay, but then the rest of the season you lower the water table and you can control it and bring some of the water through sub-irrigation that way. Obviously, you combine your system with, despite the fact that you could supply most of the water by sub-irrigation, you will also use overhead irrigation for frost protection, heat stress control, as well as bring more uniformity in your bed. So there is a combination of sub-irrigation as well as overhead, which is possible in that case. Okay, so the results I will illustrate are simply coming from the five-year study. So I'm just presenting examples about the irrigation strategy which is used, the results on the spatial variability of water table depth, and also investigation of drainage efficiency. So the study I'll quote here, the first study on irrigation management, was conducted from 2013 in 2014 in the state of Wisconsin, as well as on two other sites in the province of Quebec in Canada. And in that case, we were running a comparison of two irrigation management. Actually, one in which the overhead irrigation was used in combination with a free drain water table, and another one in which we were combining overhead irrigation with the control water table. Okay. And the purpose was to verify whether or not controlling the water table and monitoring that capillarized process may maintain an adequate water potential within the root zone. Okay, so this is a summary of the Cleveland Lee's thesis from the University of Wisconsin, but the data are very similar for the two other sites in Quebec. And in that case, I would like to bring the attention that in the overall water balance here, in 2013, despite the fact that the same yield were obtained on both freely drained beds and controlled drained beds, the irrigation was cut by about from 83 millimeter to 36 millimeter. While in the case of the 2014 data, the overhead irrigation was cut from 12 to 0 with no yield decrease, indicating that then the capillarized supply was sufficient enough to bring the water needed for the crops. And in that case, Van der Lees compared using the heat balance, the evapotranspiration for both the freely drained beds in comparison with the control drain beds. And what we can see is in both cases, the evapotranspiration was the same for both crops, indicating that the sub-irrigation with no irrigation in the case of the 2014 was enough to bring all the water needed for the crop. Okay, and this is an example of the capillarize that was calculated based on the two sensors with the dots, as well as that one model from the data model from MIDRIS, okay, using the water potential data. And okay, so just to indicate to quantify this capillarize process. Okay, the second example came from the spatial variability of the water table depth. So obviously there is a theoretical relationship. If your bottom sensors is located close enough to the water table, and there is very low resistance in the bed to water flow, then there should be a relationship which is very close to hydrostatic equilibrium being observed between the tension reading at a given depth and in relation to the position of the water table. And indeed, that's what I put there on the graph. The dark line here represent the theoretical one-to-one relationship, and the open circles represent the control drainage data for the bottom tensiometer located at 21 centimeter below the root zone. So what we can see is that in the control system, the water potential readings are very close to the one-to-one relationship. And therefore, using that relationship, we can have an idea of the position of the water table at different locations in the fields. We can see also that in a free-day drain system, most of the data, because we're talking about 10,000 data here for the whole season, are very close to the theoretical one-to-one relationship, but during irrigation event in which there are some of the data that are slightly above, indicating possibly a lag in the water flow. Okay, so this represents what we've got on one of the sites in Quebec. This is the position. This is a map of the a contour map of the different water table positions. The red color indicating deeper water table, and the blue color indicating closer to the surface, near ideal position of the water table according to the models that we're using. And indeed, what we see is the contour map is highly consistent with the pattern of yield that we see in the same field. And the yield difference there, we're talking about 10,000, that is 25% yield difference between the zone at which the water table is close to the ideal conditions relative to those zones where it is too deep. So in that case, the grower can simply adjust by putting additional sprinkler in some zone or redesigning his irrigation systems to improve its overall uniformity in the bed. Okay? So this represents for the different position in the field an example of the consequences on the irrigation needs due to these differences in the depth of the water table. So what we can see here is that the number of if you've got a water table which is very close to the ideal position, 6 irrigation were needed for the whole overall season, relative to the drier spot in which you had as much as 14 or 35 irrigation needed. In that case, you can see that the amount of water will nearly double or even more than that, and the irrigation cost obviously will increase. So obviously the fact that it's not totally uniform in the field has important consequences on the economical performance associated with the crop. Last examples is associated with the fact that growers can have get access to the data, can identify zones of subsurface water movements, okay? And sometimes what we've seen in beds, and we've got two posters on that in the poster session this afternoon, there is a natural compaction of the top sand layer which occurs. Despite the fact that there is no traffic on these beds, very little, there is a natural compaction. And then what will occur is the relative to the theoretical one-to-one relationship that we should observe, what we see is a bunch of data accumulating above, indicating restriction of water flow. And then when you dig up profile, what you see is that relative to well-drained sites, you would have other sites in which you've got a perch water table forming temporarily due to that situation, despite the fact that below in the profile here, you have a zone that is much drier. The second example is what we've been able to identify our zone of recharge coming from above located fields that were bringing additional water during storm events in the ditches. And what we see is some of the water there is simply moving back into the drain tile from the drain from the ditch. And then the end result is the fact that half of the field, approximately, would be standing in water for 18 hours more than the above part of the field, with an observed yield decrease of about 25%. So as a result, is when we investigated the pattern of yield distribution in these plots, what we've seen is prior to correction, the above part of the field had an average of 48,000 pounds per acre relative to 30,000 in the below part. And after correction of the and preventing that water from coming back into the drain tiles during storm events, what we could see is that the level of the yield stayed the same in the above part, while in the below part, the yield was increased and brought back to the same level as in the above part. So for the growers, it means in that case an improvement of about 25%. So what happened when you take all the data from the different growers, and these are the data that you can get that are public, okay? These are the state-by-state average of the yield for cranberry observed in different states. So Cranberry is grown in Massachusetts, British Columbia, New Jersey, Oregon, Washington, Wisconsin, and Quebec. And what we see is for those states in which there was an adoption of 20% and more of technologies helping them to diagnose a production problem. The introduction occurred about 2009, and what we've seen since then is a gradual increase taking place of about 25%. And most of that is due to the fact that growers have been able to identify the influence of these subsurface processes and then correct either their drain tile configuration or adjust their water management to get yield improvements there. So in conclusion, subsurface hydrology strongly affects the irrigation strategy and yield uniformity in cranberry irrigated fields. The causes are multiple. Sometimes this is the fact that you've got improper capillary rise in sands because of strong hysteresis effect. There is a spatial variability despite a laser level flat surface. There might be a spatial variability of water table depth due to the hydrology of the site. And finally, sometimes there are mistakes in the drainage configuration there. And that considering these surface processes can save important amount of water and get gain in productivity for growers. So I'd like to thank you for attending and acknowledge the financial contribution of ANSERC, who funded this program. And I don't know if you have time for questions, but...
One quick question.
Yes?
If there's time for one question. Okay, thank you.